Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
Hey, good morning, Pioneer. I'm Shane Ashby. I never had this opportunity as a kid to go to camp. Looks like a lot of fun, though, right? What I do want to share with y'all, kind of, maybe some of y'all can relate to me. I spend a lot of time on social media with my job. I spend a lot of time watching the news, YouTube. They all kind of tell you that this generation is doomed, right? Generation coming up is weak. And I'll probably agree with you until I went to camp this year. What you have here, these ladies and gentlemen, these young women and men, they are the hope for our church, for our community, and for our world. Parents, be proud of the kids that you're raising, because every single one of them has strength. Every single one of them has stood out that week. Maybe Laura and Ashley will kind of expand on that a little bit, but I do want you guys to realize that there is hope in our community. There's hope in our church. So we're going to bring a few of them up, the ones that want to speak, kind of let them share their experience, and then we'll bring the whole group up. I'll kind of wrap up, and we'll pray over them. That's okay. You want to start us off, Kim?
So, hi. You might know me as Cameron Blose. You might not. So, a couple weeks ago, some of you sent your teenagers over to church camp, and I hope it's to learn about Christ and not just because you didn't like us. So, what I have written out here is just some talking points about what we learned at church camp. The main topic of our discussion in church camp was biblical suffering, a million knows, but I'll just give you a brief summary of what we learned. So, biblical suffering is generally a hard topic, but it's the hard topics that you need to be doing at church camp, because the church camp for teens is where teens come to God, and if you come to God on thinking everything will be easy, then you're wrong, because it's never going to be easy. It's going to be hard, and when you come to God, there will be a time when you will inevitably feel suffering, whether that be from your own sin, whether that be from the world shunning you just for being a Christian. So well, I had it. So, the one thing is, why do we suffer? Well, it's because we don't have majesty. After the garden, we lost all our right to majesty. And we were called specks now. It's a small world and even smaller people now. A verse that TJ likes to use is, God could make the rocks cry out in vain, which just shows our insignificance. But God loves us way more than we deserve. And the reason he created us was to share his perfect love. In fact, we got to share the love at church camp in a thing called Words of Affirmation, where we complimented people, not just who they are as a person, but who they are as a believer in Christ. And, of course, the garden, we were foolish, became specks. But because God's perfect love, he sent us Jesus, and Jesus died and bled on the cross for us. And then, before, and that just shows that God never wants to leave us alone in our suffering. And we may go through trials and tribulations, but even when Jesus seemed annoyed by us on the mountain, when he's about to give the sermon on the hill, he seemed almost annoyed at humanity. And he still didn't leave us alone. Through his perfect love, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And so I'd like to end my discussion with a Bible verse, Psalm 23, which if John 3:16 didn't exist, this is what I would put in its place. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good job, Cameron. Cameron kind of hit on a couple little things. Like, one, this wasn't just church camp where we played. We had chapel twice a day. And when I say twice a day, 3 hours at a time. And so when TJ gets a little long-winded, y'all keep that in mind. These kids have been through it, okay? Cameron also mentioned words of affirmation. What the camp asked us to do as chaperones is throughout the week write down words of affirmation to give to the kids that they can take home. Kenny and I did this last year, and we took it in a different approach, and so we decided to do it again this year, where we split up boys and girls, and then we asked each one of them to give words of affirmation to someone else. So we would pick someone's name, like Cameron, and then we would go around, and everybody would have something to say. And I don't know about for the girls, but it was actually really easy. Like I said, these kids have so many great qualities that the others see in them. It was a lot easier to go around than us trying to find those for them. So who wants to go next? We'll start with you then, Dylan. Thanks for volunteering.
So, hi, my name's Dylan, and basically camp was probably one of the highlights of my summer, where I haven't really done much this summer. Just kind of relax, but that's what it's for. So, but camp was a really fun time. We did a bunch of activities, but probably the best part was making friends and meeting new people. Like, before, here's an example. So, Paxton. I didn't really know much about him before I went to camp. I waved at him a few times, and that was about it. But after we went to camp, I really got to know him, of how good of a person he was. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. My name is Liam. And this is my first year to camp. And I don't know what took me so long, but if y'all know Brady Mitchell, he went to Lookup Lodge, and I was like, oh, might as well go. So I ain't really got a lot to say, but like Cameron, I didn't really write anything down. But I just want to say how amazing it was just to see like my friends and just like everyone grow with a relationship in Christ. So I thought it was pretty fun. And if you have someone like of our age that has never been to camp, I would definitely go. But I ain't really got much to say, but I just think it was fun seeing like everyone in our group just grow closer with Christ.
Hang on a second, Ma. Hey, Liam, what you got on your wrist still? Hold it up. The purple one.
Oh, the purple one?
Yep. See the purple bands? The kids that still have them on, hold them up. I'll say, thought there'd be more, but I noticed last week there was quite a few of them in church that still had their bands on from church. They had to wear them throughout, but they're still holding on to that. So, Hayden, you want to go next?
Hi, my name is Hayden. And, I really like the worship night. I feel like that touched a lot of people, religiously. And I feel like that a bunch of people that, like, didn't go last year, that they really want to go again. And if you're a teenager and you're a Christian, then I would definitely recommend going. That's it.
Brayden, got nothing? Miles? Braxton? Bentley? Got anything? Huh? Say it in your own words then. Come on. As y'all can tell, throughout camp, I challenged the boys and really didn't give them options. It was more of, we're going to try things. So...
Hi, my name is Bentley, and to be honest with y'all, I ain't got nothing to say. All of them, they summed it up for me, especially Cameron. So whatever. Worship night? Worshiping God. I'm just proud of everybody for growing in the body of Christ. That's all I got to say.
Paxton, you got anything?
That's a lot of people. In my pocket. So before camp like started, my mom signed me up. Like I didn't know nothing about it, so I did not want to go at all. Like I begged them to not take me. So then we got there. I still didn't want to go. So the first like 2 days, I just sat in the back, did nothing, just watched everybody else have fun. But then probably like the third day, I kind of made some friends. So I started interacting more with other people. And I started having more fun doing the activities and everything. And then, it was fun. Worship night was good. That I didn't expect it to be so emotional. Like there was tons of people who were crying on their knees and stuff, so it was just very spiritual. I just feel like it was a good church camp.
So Paxton might seem small, but he's a good kid. What you may not know about Paxton is he can sing. Kid has a voice. And so not just him, y'all might have seen a picture of a couple of boys sitting up on the top bunk. They love singing Whitney Houston. And they can hit the high notes, guys. That was... Y'all sure you don't want to share anything? I know y'all leaders. Nobody? All right. We'll come back later. Did y'all want to share anything? Come on, Logan.
Hey, everybody. My name's Logan, and I want to share with you what God showed me through camp. Last year, I went to kids camp, and you saw on the slide the giant swing that everybody pulls you up into the air. You have to pull this cord, and it launches you over the lake. Well, last year I went to kids camp, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I just chickened out. And then this year at teen camp, I had every intention of bailing out. So I got in line, and it's like an hour wait every time. And I got in line, and it's a three-person swing. So I figured I'd get up there, not have any partners, and just walk away. I know that sounds crazy. But this time while waiting in line, my mom and Ashton joined me and didn't let me back out. And people were coming to watch me. Everybody was coming to support us. And as we were waiting in line, as we were getting buckled up into the swing, I could just feel my heart pounding, and I started crying, and I started screaming. I didn't, like, they wouldn't let me off. And we were going up in the air, and they couldn't bring us back down, or at least they said they couldn't. And the only way down was pulling the cord as we got to the top. And we pulled the cord after a minute of being up there. My mom had to pull it. And I did it, but I was still very embarrassed. And I realized I overreacted a lot. And everybody was laughing. And everybody was, like, looking at us. And it was just very stressful. And the funny thing is, I went back two more times after that. Because I honestly kind of wanted to prove to myself I wouldn't cry, I wouldn't get scared, and that I could do this, and I didn't have to overreact. And every time, it wasn't as bad. The more I went, I realized it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And in the long run, I actually really enjoyed it, and I'm really looking forward to doing it next year. And like Cameron said, the whole point of the week was suffering. They talked about suffering in some kind of way every time we went to chapel. And God uses your challenges and your suffering, and he uses that for you to get closer to him. And even in this just crazy swing story about me crying and overreacting, getting pulled into the air, God showed me something through that. Because when you're afraid or you're uncomfortable, surround yourself with people that help you pull the cord. Don't do it alone. Because if I was up there by myself, I would have never pulled that cord. And you always have to trust God when you want to back out. Because if you just back out, like, I would have never done that swing if they wouldn't have come along and pushed me to do it. And so don't back out. Trust God. Pray to him. Talk to him. And when God's calling you, get out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to go against the grain. And I'm really excited to go in next year, and thank you.
Good job, Logan. Yeah, she did a good job of kind of getting out of her comfort zone, and that was one of the talking points one night was, you know, when God's calling you to do something, it's not going to be something that you're really great at and you've done millions of times. It's probably going to be something that you're scared to do, something that you have a fear for, but that's not from God. That's always from Satan. It's always from the enemy. He's going to give you that fear, that anxiety, that animosity to move you from what God wants you to go at. So step out of your comfort zone, try it, and then after you've done it, then you can say, I don't like it, because you've got the experience. Or you can say, it wasn't so bad, I'm going to give it another shot. So good job, Lo. Emily? Julia? Ashton? I know Rayla's hiding in the back. Do you have anything? No? Huh? No? She's saying no? So, Laura, Ashley?
We do everything together.
Here, it's me.
Good morning, Pioneer Church. I'm Laura. Everybody else introduced themselves, but I hope you know me. If you don't, I'm Laura. I want to talk to you about how amazing our kids are and how God showed up. I've served in kids ministry for 5 years here at Pioneer. And I think it was TJ maybe who was sharing how we just had a few. He forgot the Blose boys, the Mason and Braden. They were some of our older boys in that crew. And we just had to pour into them the old-fashioned way. They didn't have a set apart time to be poured into as far as like a youth ministry time. So just the old-fashioned, pull up your bootstraps and love on these kids. So these kids finally have a youth group. I'm so thankful for the Kalinowskis and the Winters. But Shane and Wayne and Chris, they have been pouring into our young men for a long time. We didn't even have females in our youth ministry age group. So as Pioneer began, we had a small core group of young men and a few faithful men, like I said, who were willing to pour into these boys. Well, this year, we had girls come on the scene. So Ashley and I felt led to attend a chaperones. 18 youth and 4 adults headed to Travelers Rest, South Carolina. And every single one, I think, was scared out of their mind or very enthusiastic. I would put them into 2 groups about life in a new setting for a week. Raise your hand if you were not excited about camp. Raise your hand. Look, you can tell I'm some of their teachers, and I've had them in school. Raise your hand if you were excited about camp. So, either group, you could feel the apprehension as we met out in this parking lot, and you could see the gazes on their face. I mean, it was like, Mom, please don't make me go. I mean, it was, you could just tell. They were either in those 2 groups, and I felt for the ones who didn't want to go. I honestly did. And that moment prompted me to pray. So I ran down this hallway, and I just said, I got to go use the bathroom. And I went, and I prayed in that bathroom. And as we began to load up vehicles, no one was actively choosing my vehicle. They must have heard that I'm the grandma driver. No offense. I'm just very careful. So eventually the ones who didn't fit in Ashley's vehicle came to mine. So thank you, Rayla. And and I knew right then that God had ordained those ladies to come to my vehicle. So what started out as a journey filled with awkward silence did not last, did it, Rayla? No. American flag began, did it not? So Bentley, I think, taught my boys American flag. Did you teach them that game? Okay. So American flag is the most exhilarating and stressful I spy game you can ever play in the car with somebody, especially if you're driving. And if you know how competitive I am, I'm not competitive in sports, but any board game, you've met your match. So with the 4th of July just passed, 5 days before, I knew we were in for a treat. So from Madison to Travelers Rest, 386 American flags were spotted. And we were the most proud Americans rolling up in that camp because we were like talking about patriotism, everything. So having that game just kind of broke that ice. And on the long stretches of the wooded highways where there were no flags, I took full advantage of those opportunities to ask getting to know you questions, icebreaker questions. And then it began happening. The walls began to fall. The trust was starting to build and the apprehension was melting away. And I don't know about you, but I wonder if you remember what it was like to be 11, 13, 15, or even 17. Do you remember what you saw and thought when you looked in the mirror? Do you remember how you felt when someone laughed at you? Do you remember how it felt to want to love Jesus but love the world too? I got 5 days of those reminders. And man, was it good for those reminders to sit and dwell on that and also pray for the ones in front of me 10 times more than I already do. I experienced the Holy Spirit at work in the hearts of every single one of those 18 young men and women. The entire week's message topic was on suffering, as they said. And boy, was it dead on the money of the things that God wanted us to hear. One of the key takeaways came from Stuart. He said, "Don't suppress or submit to your suffering, but let God sanctify you in it. Each one of those young men and women is going through, coming out of, or about to walk through suffering. So I implore you as Pioneer Church, and even if you're not a part of Pioneer Church, if you're a part of the body of Christ, to get on your knees and pray that they can ask God to sanctify their suffering. Because every single one of these kids is walking through it, coming out of it, or getting ready to go in it. We can be the church body that they need to scoop up the pieces alongside them and remind them that we're there for them. So lastly, I'd like to leave you with this. On the second to last night, as they talked about, chapel time was called worship night. And it was intended for worship only. There were no skits, no jokes, no promos for the upcoming camps. They got right down to the point. We sang right on it. It felt like forever. But the room was thick. And it was not because of that South Carolina humidity, but because of the Holy Spirit smothering us. Our kids wept and yearned in worship to the King of the universe. Every single one of those kids. And as if that wasn't good enough, they got to follow it up with affirming one another with words that will last an eternity in their hearts. This is the future body of believers. This is how they were described by their peers: courageous, determined, compassionate, inclusive, bold, confident, mature, disciplined, servant leader, observant, kind, funny, brave, intuitive, supportive, and loyal. Those are preteens and teens. When you see these young men and women bebopping around Pioneer with wiffle ball bats, phones in their hand, giggling, shooting hoops in the gaga ball pit, they're also the ones that I just described. So seek them out to encourage them. Ask them how their week's going, even if you only get a one-word response back. Go to their games, school events, buy them a soda, feed them, because we can't feed them. Our parents, we're parents. We can't feed our children enough. Take them out to a meal. It's okay. But remind them that you are here for them. Show them what their role as the future body of Christ is going to look like. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad I get to follow that up. We're the young Tony and Sandy, if you've never met us. Okay, so she might take the mic from me. I don't know. Where's Tony? All right. I want to share a short story with you. My first experience in camp in middle school, I lasted 2 whole days for the week camp. That's my memory of how I would love camp. I did not like the terrible food. I did not like community showers and bathrooms. I did not like being grouped with a whole lot of people in one room for a week. So I bailed. Well, let's fast forward to now. Our church starts talking about going to teen camp. Shane chaperoned last year with a group of guys, and he came back on fire like I'd never seen him before. He talked more in that week than he did in the year. And so this year, it was Logan's turn to go, and it was for 6th through 12th graders. And so I was a little bit concerned for her just because I'm her mama and I love her, and I thought that was a big range. And I wanted her to go and have a great time, but I also wanted her to have friends. And we have a fantastic group of girls at our school, and I kind of assumed that they wouldn't have the courage to sign up and join our church without maybe one of us being there. And so I asked Laura to carry me in this journey. And I said, you live for this kind of stuff. You're about it, and I'm not. And so I reluctantly agreed to be a chaperone, if I'm being transparent, because I'm just not cut out for camp life, if we're being real honest. So I signed up. We had a bunch of girls join us, and the week began. And so we got there. We hit the ground running. It was nonstop. I felt like every minute was pretty much prepared for us. And I was like, here we go. Buckle up. You know, it's here. It's time. And the first few days started off.
I wake her up every morning.
She was out the door at like 5 doing things. I don't know. It was still dark out. And I don't like mornings either, y'all. So anyway, we started the first few days, and it was just a ton of fun. We got to
wear body paint,
dress up. You know, we were put into teams, and so of course your teams were in competition amongst each other, playing different games. And I loved watching these kids have fun. I loved joining them. I should say young adults; they're not even kids. But I got to join in, and over the days, through the fun, we all started letting our guard down, and that's what it came down to. Like, in the beginning, everybody was just holding their breath and kind of, what are we doing? What's happening? I felt like even walking into camp, you know, we were trying to get a feel for what was going on and being a part of it, just joining in on the fun. So after a few days, it was like all the distractions, all the things that are normally put in front of our faces and our children's face every day, they're consumed with so many things. And when all that was stripped away and all we had was each other and going to sermons and really taking in the Word of God and trying to apply that to our lives and what it means, I saw it. I saw the beauty of camp. And by day 4, when we did the night of worship, it was like the most powerful experience that I've ever seen for young people. I mean, we're talking 350 plus kids just crying out to the Lord, laying it at his feet and just letting it all go. And like she said, if they haven't been through suffering, which most of us already have, it's coming. So them giving us like scripture to carry and know how to work through that, not suppressing emotions and how to actually feel them and allow it to be present, but then also give that to God and say, okay, I don't have to just wallow in this forever because you already know, you already have the plans. And I'm just so grateful that I got to experience it and see it and walk alongside these young women as they opened up and shared. And so what I can say is the food left something to be desired. It was really hot and we walked a ton. And I still don't like community showers and restrooms. So there's room for improvement, but I know
he's got a bullet point list for next year.
I filled out the survey when we left. So I know what to pack for next time, but I can promise if the church wants me to be a part of it again and any of these girls want to come back, I'm about it. I'm for it. And I think it was, like Dylan said, the highlight of my summer. So
that might not seem like a big deal for Ashley, but actually on our way here to leave for camp, she flat out told our family, hey, kids, be ready to go by yourself next year because your dad's not going and I'm not either. We're staying at home and y'all are going. We're going to get a week to ourselves. And literally before she left camp, she had already made plans to go back for next year. So like I said, camp, teen camp is powerful not just for the kids. It's for the adults as well. And that's one thing I wanted to share to you guys was I showed up thinking, you know, I was going to be able to chaperone. Last year we took 6 boys. That was fun.
Now we had 18, nine boys, nine girls. A little more challenging throwing the girls in the mix, including the chaperone ladies. We were always late for food this year, right, guys? Not always. All the boys stayed in one cabin, all the girls in another cabin. It actually took the boys longer to shower and exfoliate and lotion and all that stuff than it did the girls. So I don't know where that come from, guys. saying all that, like I said, I was prepared to kind of just look over them, kind of mentor them, give them some words of wisdom, kind of help them apply life. Camp is literally, you wake up in the morning, you eat breakfast, you go to chapel for about 3 hours, you go to a discussion group for about an hour to an hour and a half, where they want the kids to talk about what the lesson was on, what the preaching was on. And then that goes to straight to lunch. And then from lunch, you go to your games, group games, and you'll have a little free time. You go back, you get ready, you eat dinner, you go back to chapel. You don't get back to the room until, 11, 12 some nights, depending on what it was. And then you get up and do it all over again, 5 days in a row. So it was more of just, I was thinking I was going to be a cowboy and wrangle these guys and just make sure they got where they need to be when they needed to be. And about halfway through the week, there was three pastors that were preaching. So maybe it was the fourth night, Stuart started to preach, and he said, you know what, I'm going to submit to God and to the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to teach what I've taught for the past 7 weeks. I feel like God's given me something different, and it may be for one person, but this is what I'm going to talk about. And it was about asking God, praying to God. Don't be afraid to ask. And so what I hadn't shared is for probably over a year, I've been really struggling with asking God for anything. And it kind of comes from my recognition of how insignificant I am. And they taught on that on the second night of how, Cameron said it, we're specks. And who am I to ask God for anything? First and foremost. Secondly, He knows everything I need. He knew it before He set the foundations of the earth, where I was going to be and what I needed in my life to get me where I need to be. So why do I need to mess that up? Why do I need to ask for it? And then it kind of became of a pseudo pride thing of, I'm going to let God be God and I'm going to do me. And, you kind of go through all these different levels with God of how you're going to fix it, right? And whether I'm taking my hands off of it or I'm putting my hands on it or I'm going to use God as that genie of, pray when I want Him to do the things I want Him to do. And so for a year, like I said, I've just really been struggling with that. And, I still prayed every day, but it was giving supplication. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Recognizing where I'm at in life, and that's it. And so that's kind of a tough place to be, and I never even shared that with TJ. But that's exactly what Stuart said was, he's going to talk about the ask. Why you need to ask God, why you need to pray and ask Him for what you want. And what really drove that home was that day we were leaving the lake, Kenny and I was, and I don't know if y'all know Kenny, he's not here, he's not feeling well today. Kenny's really good at asking questions that get to your soul. You'll be talking about what you're eating for lunch, and he's like, so what do you think about John 3? And, I'm like, slow down, Kenny, And so we got into one of those conversations, and I literally just laid it out to Kenny of, look, man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling in my prayer life. I'm struggling with asking God. I'm struggling with knowing who I am and who God is. And every single thing that I said, hey, this is what I want to know. I want to know this, and I want to know this. Those were his three bullet points when he preached that night. So Stuart, God is literally talking through Stuart for that one person, and I felt like that one person was me. And so we got to discussion group that day. For some reason, none of the kids wanted to speak, and they're just kind of waiting. And I'm like, I got to tell y'all, because I was the one guy. Like, let me tell you. And so I did want to share a little bit of what Stuart was talking about. And so when you're in suffering, when you're in sick, a lot of times we feel like we're being punished. I know Cameron mentioned, sometimes God uses that suffering because it's sin. He's trying to correct you. He's trying to, Stuart said, trim those thorns, right? But he's also kind of using it for a gift. How many of you have ever prayed for patience, prayed for kindness, prayed for something? How do you normally get that? Does God say, all right, be patient now? He normally gives you a trial where you have to learn patience, where it's not going to be solved immediately. And then what does he do? He does it again. And then he gives you another trial where you have to suffer through it again. And so eventually, you get the point, right? And that's kind of what Stuart was saying was, you know, he was taking the picture of a rose where he was kind of trimming the thorns off of it so that you get this beautiful flower that everybody wants, that everyone wants to smell, everyone wants to give to someone else to show love. And that's what God's doing to you. He's turning you into his rose so that he can share you with the world, so they can smell you when you're in the room, so they can smell him on you, so you can just share his beauty. The other thing is for your gifts. God has gifts, and I've seen it in these guys, like I said. You know, Paxton kind of mentioned after day three, you know, he kind of opened up and really just, you know, kind of let the walls down where he could just be a part of the group. From day one, I felt like when we got in the car, Liam and Braden and Miles were like, come on, get in the car, let's go. And like they just shoved him in the back of the car. When we had a whole extra seat in the truck, he could have sat up front. But, I mean, they were including him. And then the same thing, the next night after discussion, you know, you see two or three of them walking. If one of them gets by themselves, the girls would do the same thing. They'd come up and be like, come on, let's go. So no one let anyone be alone. And so that's some of those spiritual gifts that I was seeing of just inclusion, making sure people felt a part of something, like a family. But one thing that Stuart kind of said, and he used from the Bible, we brought it back, was there were 650 prayer requests that have been recorded in the Bible. Out of that, 220 of them are recorded the entire prayer. So not only the 650, out of that 220, they literally wrote word for word what they prayed for. Out of that 220, how many of them do you think were requested from suffering? It's 170. It's almost a good number of them, right? Out of that, how many do you think God answered in the way that they asked? 130 are recorded the way that person asked was the way that they answered. And so for me, that was an eye-opener of, you know, Stuart explained it in the same way the Bible does. If you have an earthly father and you ask him for food, he's going to give you what you need. But if he doesn't know you're hungry, he's not going to give you the food. God already knows you're hungry, but he's still wanting to hear from you. He's still wanting to have that relationship with you. And so I'm kind of excited now to be able to pray and ask. And they kind of hit on a lot of other stuff of, you know, feeling the pain. So when you're in that suffering, don't run from it. Also, don't wallow in the pain, but feel it, internalize it, make it real to you. Submit to it, because God keeps your sorrows. There's actually a verse where it says he keeps your tears. And so another one was to wrestle. Wrestle with God. Don't be afraid to wrestle with him. Just be careful how you wrestle, because he's going to reveal to you. The more you talk to him, the more you wrestle with him, the more he's going to reveal to you. And most of the time, you're going to see some of that beauty through the mess. And then lastly, it was to rejoice. Put your joy and your sadness together. So when you're in that suffering, when you're in that trial, when you have those times where you're just ready to give up because you're out of your comfort zone, jumping on a swing, you can find joy in it. It's kind of all I really had to share. But I do want to kind of challenge you guys. Like I said, I challenged them throughout the week. I want to challenge y'all now of get to know them better. If you see them around, ask them. I think Laura hit a little bit on it of take them to lunch. Find out who they are. It's real easy for us to come to church for an hour, hour and a half, do your pleasantries, hey, how you doing, and then go about your life. That's not being the church. That's not doing life together. So find some time to get to know who they are and encourage them, because this is the church. You know, I think Stuart or Greg said that they're the future of our church, and I'd say he's wrong. They're not the future. They're the present. They're who we are now. They are strong. Some of us are about that point to where we're going to have to give up control. We're going to have to allow them to take the reins. One thing that I've learned at camp both years,
was the apostles that traveled with Jesus, his followers, the 12 disciples that were with him. Out of that, one of them may have been over the age of 18. You know, we have this picture in our head of Jesus being 32, 33 years old walking, and he had 25, 28, 30-year-old men hanging out with him. That would have been weird back then, have a bunch of 30-year-old dudes just hanging out together. So Jesus was the teacher. He had disciples, and they were kids he was investing in. He was poured into daily. It wasn't for once a week for an hour and a half. So take that as a challenge, that God took 12 guys that were teenagers in middle and high school age, and he changed the world. He turned it upside down. So what can we do with 18? So I'm going to invite all of them to come up. And TJ, you got something before we pray for them? Good? Come on up. Rayla, you too. All right, let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, God, we are just so grateful and thankful, God, for what you are doing in our church, God, for what you are doing in your church. God, we thank you for these young men and women, God, who have the bravery, God, to stand up here for you, God, to also take a week out of their schedule, God, away from their friends, away from their family, God, to learn from you, to hear from you, God, to share with you their hearts. So, God, I do pray that they go through this life, and, God, suffering comes at them, God, that you will just use it to strengthen them, God, to build them up. God, I pray for our church, for their parents, God, that as they go through these sufferings, as they go through their life, God, that we will come around them, God. We will be the ones to help them pull the cord. God, we will be the ones that just kind of push them to you, God, that build them up. God, don't tear them down, Lord, just to help them live life, but live it in a loving way for you. And so, God, I just pray as we go throughout the rest of our day, God, that we will just give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the power that you deserve, God, and take none for ourselves. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
End our time this morning by worshiping, but I just want to, man, just thank you guys for sharing. I know that's difficult and hard, but I want to thank you, Pioneer Church, as your pastor. Every time you show up, every time you pray, every time you give to the ministries of our church, you are helping create opportunities for this. You guys know how I feel about camp. When I was 16 years old, man, I met Jesus. And I mean, I met Jesus at a camp. And it was because of people who I didn't even talk to, who probably didn't even know my name, who were a part of a church body, who cared so much about the kingdom of God that they were willing to give, sacrifice, and pray, and love. I haven't shared this story much, but a few weeks before I went to that camp when I was 16, I came home from football practice in the summertime, and the youth pastor was there at my house. And I knew his name, but I didn't know anything about him. And he sat there in my driveway for about an hour and a half and just got to know me. He wanted to know what my interests were. He wanted to know what made me click, who my friends were. He didn't try to pitch anything to me. He didn't try to convince me of anything. Man, he just got to know me. And that was very instrumental in the decisions that I made going forward. And every one of us have that same opportunity as God's people. Yeah, when you see them in a hallway, when they're out there about to hit your car with a basketball, right? Man, just go say, hey, man. I'm going to share a little bit about this next week, but I read a study this week that was mind-blowing about adolescents in this generation, Gen Z. And here's what I learned. They are craving your attention. You all feel like they don't want anything to do with you, right? They go in, close the door in the room, and they don't want anything to do. They are craving our attention. But here's what they're not craving. They're not craving our inauthenticity. Here's what that means. They don't need us to use their words because we don't know what they mean anyway, right? They don't need us to dress like them or to try to be them. Do you know what this generation needs? 50% of Gen Zers who were polled 5 years ago said this: I need someone in my life who's older than me that can mentor me. And this generation's alone. We think they're the most connected generation in history. They're not. They're alone. And they are left to try to figure this thing called life out on their own. The beauty of the church is that God has given us the gift of each other. And you have something that they need. And you know what that is? It's your wisdom. It's your presence. It's your prayer. And so I just want to thank you as the pastor of Pioneer Church for your desire to see this generation be everything God's called them to be. I'm excited for the future. I really am. And so I'm going to pray for us again, and Laura's going to lead us in worship, and we'll be dismissed. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this privilege today to just celebrate and to, God, just hear all the wonderful things that you did at Look Up Lodge. Lord, I know that for some of us, God, we're sitting in here not knowing what in the world they were talking about. And that's okay, because it was their experience that you allowed them to have. And God, I thank you for their courage of coming back and sharing that. For many of them, they're not sure exactly what you're doing in their life, but what they do know is that you are real and you are at work. And so, God, we thank you for the seeds that were planted a few weeks ago in their hearts. And now, God, you've brought them to Pioneer Church to have those seeds cultivated and nurtured. And so, Lord, I just pray for every one of us in here this morning as brothers and sisters that, God, we would first remember those who poured into us, those who shared the gospel with us, those who prayed for us, those who gave of their time and their resources, Lord, to create an environment where the gospel could be heard and taught clearly. And Lord, we thank you for those people. And then, Father, I just ask that you would help us to see that we have the same opportunity, Lord, to invest in the lives of others, God. And so, Lord, I just pray that this time together this morning would not be lost on us when we leave. But Lord, you would allow this to just continue to roll around in our minds and in our hearts. And that we listen to your Holy Spirit. We'd be attentive to how you're leading us to make a phone call, say hello, ask a question. And Lord, allow you to do what you do through it. So Father, thank you for the privilege to worship you this morning through the sharing of these wonderful testimonies. I pray as we leave this place now, God, we would go and truly be lights to a world that needs you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.